Welcome back in hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezevic here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Taking your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. We'll have John Glennon coming up at 8 o'clock. We'll get his thoughts on the Predators and Philip Forsberg as well. Charles Robinson at 9, Adam Vinken at 9:30. Joe Chris on the text line says maybe Poyle and Hines can go fishing and recharge. Is the Tannehill fishing thing, that's just going to be a thing from now on? We had DJ Burnside yesterday on the show, Photoshop Philip Forsberg's head on Ryan Tannehill's body with a fishing pole, bringing up a contract. The Tannehill fishing thing is going to be something that lives on for a while.
Oh, indeed. Oh, that one's got some legs. I think at least we're not making mentor jokes right now.
That's true.
But that'll also live on.
Yes. Yes, it will.
We got the rookies coming this week, so we can ask Malik Willis if it's his job to be a protege.
Yes.
That's my question for him.
Hey Malik, do you think that you're ready to be Ryan Tannehill's protege? How much are you looking forward to being mentored by him? The good stuff from Malik Willis. So the Preds players spoke yesterday. I would assume at some point, either later this week or maybe early next week, we'll hear from John Hines and David Poyle. Obviously, we've talked a lot about Hines and Poyle the last couple of days here on the show, and there are very strong opinions that Predators fans have on those two. I guess my question is, if they're speaking later this week, and we've not been told exactly when that'll be as of yet, what can they say? What do you think Preds fans want to hear from those two in terms of the direction of the team, maybe the way things have gone? Because I think you and I would both agree on this. If you're out on John Hines or if you're out on David Poyle, there's probably not much they're going to be able to say at these press conferences that make you change your mind on that. If you're a Predators fan that's maybe on the fence and concerned about the team, concerned about the direction of the team, what do you want to hear from John Hines and David Poyle this week?
Well, even if you're – I mean, whatever you think about John Hines, I don't know. Like, I don't know how much he can say right now. I mean, John, yeah. I mean, his job is in the season, you know? So, I mean, I would like him to – he said that he's going to look at the last month. So, I would like the results of looking at the last month. But seriously, I mean, asked the same question of the guys yesterday, a few of them. And Ekholm brought up, you know, maybe fatigue. He did bring up, you know, there are a lot of young guys. So, you have that – it sounds like an excuse, and it's an excuse, but there could be some reality to it, which is young guys who aren't used to the 82 game grind going through it for the first time. So maybe that's something, but, yeah, there's not much from Hines, to me that, you know, I mean, talk about the season. I mean, Poyle, the question for Poyle is moving forward. What's your strategy? What are you doing? As long as Poyle has this job, and I think he's going to continue to have this job. There's no indication of anything different than, yep. Yeah, I mean, I want to hear, you know, what is the plan? First, what's the deal with Forsberg? You know, because he understands as well as anyone that when you forfeited the opportunity to get assets for Forsberg, you put yourself in a spot where you really need to sign Forsberg. But then, you know, thoughts on, Cunning and Tolvanen, and you know, you brought up, it was you, I think, right, who brought up the Blues, or somebody brought up the Blues yesterday. You know, you like, there's an example. Now I still think that's sort of one of those. It was kind of like the Preds run in 17 a little bit. Like, I don't know if that's exactly the formula, but it did work. And one thing that worked is that they had a lot of depth, you know, and they had you can get some good forwards and improve your forward situation. And it's a lot easier to do than to, you know, find the absolute grade A elite player. So, like, getting a Nick Bonino a few years ago, for example, you know, I mean, some moves like that can improve your situation. So, I guess – I just want to hear the overall strategy of what David Poyle has to say. Is there anything he can say that's going to make people on the fence feel great about things? I doubt it.
Well, no, because like he's not going to – let's say David Poyle has a plan in place this offseason to go sign a big free agent and to trade somebody and try to flip that asset for a player that can help you right now. You think he's going to talk about that later this week? No, he's not. Now, I will say in the past, like David Poyle, he's not always been, you know, incredibly, he's not going to lay out his plans, but I will say there have been times in the past where you can kind of get a pretty good read heading into an off season as to whether or not there's going to be a whole lot of change. Like obviously the example that people point to are, you know, after the President's Trophy year, he said basically the same team's coming back. And, you know, I don't know if he's going to do that or not later this week, but there have been times where he has explicitly said, yeah, we're probably going to make some changes this offseason. And he said that, and they've done it. So I think you one thing that you might be able to take away from whenever David Poyle talks is the overall theme of the plan this offseason. Will there be many changes? Are they just bringing the same guys back next year and rolling with the young guys? Typically, you can get a pretty good read on that part of it from the end of season press conference from David Poyle. Now, it doesn't always play out that way. Like, you know, he didn't telegraph the PK Subban Shea Weber trade in the offseason of 2016. So I'm not saying that we're going to learn everything this week, but there have been times where you can get a pretty good read on that from Poyle.
Yeah. So, and so is it, well, you bring that up and I brought up Duchesne again. Duchesne had a heck of a year. I mean, Duchesne was a huge part of their success, but a year ago, you couldn't give away Duchesne. And again, I know that he has partial and no movement clause, but you know, is that something to explore? Again, like you said, this is not going to be part of the presser, but I'm just, now that you mention it, you know, is moving one of these guys to reform your forward group, is that something that he's seriously going to consider? And how, you know, how does he feel? I mean, you know, I mean, like, we know how Hines feels about Luke Cunningham, right?
Yeah.
He made it very clear with what he did with his lineup the entire season and postseason. But I'd like to know what David Poyle thinks about Luke Cunningham, because there was a lot on Luke Cunningham being a key, you know, forward, moving forward here with the Preds. And to me, that's hard to buy now.
It is. You know, he's a restricted free agent. Like, what I want to know and what I don't think David Poyle is going to tell us is, like, do you have any really interest in bringing him back if he's going to be more expensive than he was this year? Like, I'm not paying Luke Cunningham more than he made this year. That's me. Now, maybe they end up having to, and I know he had a really nice close to the season last year in the second half, and he was good in the playoffs too. But I'm not paying Luke Cunningham more than he made this year, which I think was a little bit over $2 million. I'm just not doing it. I think you can find a replacement for Luke Cunningham. So that's probably not something David Poyle is going to, you know, divulge this week at his press conference. That would be something that I'd want to know, is like, how far are you willing to go? Even though he is a restricted free agent and he's under team control and you traded for him, like, you really, are you willing to go farther than what he made this year to bring him back? Cause I would not be.
Yeah. And you know, speaking of the RFAs, you know, a guy who, another one who's a very important player and someone who needs to get paid, you know, quite a bit more, is like Yakov Trenin, you know, guy who made $725K this year. I mean, Yakov Trenin, you know, certainly a playoff series or a playoff postseason can do a lot for a player, good and bad. I'd say this one did some good for him, but the whole season,
he was good.
You know, I don't think he got enough credit. Because, you know, Tanner Jeannot got the bulk of the attention for that line, but Trenin's a guy who you certainly are keeping and paying more, but you also have to factor that into, you know, the, you know, your overall cap situation. I mean, it's not sexy, but it's guys like that. It's having more guys like that, you know, is a big thing. And so I think there's got to be some changes. I mean, another guy I wonder about, but really is going to come down to just show us and don't tell us, is Cody Glass.
Yeah.
I mean, what's his future? What's his ceiling?
Yeah, it's a great question. Chris on the text line says, Robbie, you already know what Coach Cliche is going to say. Fortitude and approach and preparation and mindset and yada, yada, yada. It was coming from Chris. on the text line. I imagine we'll hear some of that from John Hines. Seems to be his go-to every now and then.
Sounds like Chris a little down on John Hines.
Sounds like it. We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Preds. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025, The Game.
As captain, do you talk to Philip as he goes into kind of an eventful offseason here and what you might go through?
I mean, a little bit. Like, it, obviously, as a captain, you want Phil to stay. Like, he's such a big part of our team, such a great player. And he's become, I played with him for a lot of years, so he's become a really good friend. And, I mean, we all want him to stay here, obviously. And I'll be definitely mentioning that to him. you know, at the end of the day, we know it's a business. And, we don't know what's going on with other guys' contract negotiations and stuff like that. But just as a captain of the team, and I think speaking for the whole team, we all obviously want him to stay.
That was Roman Josi yesterday at Preds Locker Room Cleanout Day discussing the Philip Forsberg situation. Obviously, Josi and the Predators would really like to have him back. We'll see what Poyle's thoughts on that are either later this week or maybe early next week when he addresses the media. Joe, you brought up something interesting that I think is worth discussing when it comes to Johansson and Duchene. So, obviously, those two guys, you know, bounced back in a big way this past season. Johansson, with his highest goal-scoring regular season by far with the Predators, and was really good from start to finish. And quite frankly, was really good without playing with line mates that are, you know, top six quality for most of the season. Now, he got a lot of work on the power play. Johansson got a lot of points on the power play. So you factor that into this discussion as well. And then there's Matt Duchene, who set the single-season franchise goal record with 43 goals and was very good in the playoffs as well. So you fast forward to this, or flash back to this time a year ago, and nobody wanted Ryan Johansson and Matt Duchene. The Predators left them unprotected in the expansion draft, and Seattle chose to go a different route with that, selecting Cale Yarncroke. I would venture to guess that if you left Matt Duchene exposed this year, probably going to get taken by the Seattle Kraken if this franchise was coming into the league this year rather than last year. I do wonder, if you're David Poyle, do you consider looking around and maybe seeing what you could get for those guys at this point, especially in the case of Duchene, who just scored 43 goals? Now, I guess my response to that would be, if you're convinced that this is the Matt Duchene you're going to see for the next few years and that he's going to be a good player for you, maybe not necessarily 43 goals and 80-some-odd points, but a good player for you, then it's probably worth keeping around. I don't know, though. If you're David Poyle, do you maybe want to get out while you can get out from the contract of Matt Duchene? I think it's an interesting discussion. Like, I look at Johansson and his cap hit of $8 million, and I guess I still have a tough time believing that there'd be that many people lining up for his services, just because his production is good. And he is obviously an important player for the Predators. I don't know that people are going to be lining up to take on that contract, even though I think it may only have 3 years left on it after this one. I have to go back and look at that. Do you think that there's a chance that David Poyle looks around on those two guys this summer?
Yeah. I mean, and that's one of those – I mean, there's where you actually have a chance to, you know, possibly better yourself and sort of be in a rebuild – while not, you know, completely blowing everything up. I mean, you could, you know, potentially get younger and set yourself up for, you know, a step backward, but not like not a step backward that's guaranteed to be a step all the way into the hole for 3-4 years. So I think those are some of the options you have now. Matt Duchene should be pretty attractive to teams out there, given what he just did this year in the regular season and the postseason. You're right. It's incredible to think about if the expansion draft happened a year later, you know, how different it might be. So I think you got to explore stuff like that. Like you said earlier, no one was predicting anything with the Shea Weber move, and it turned out to be a good move. Although I'd say a pretty polarizing move at the time. I think all things like that, you've got to absolutely consider, because again, it's just, it's hard for me to look at this group, including the young guys, and see some huge elevation into where the Preds want to be anytime soon.
So the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Austin from Clarksville texting in says, what about Preds legend Rocco Grimaldi? I think he's probably gone. He's an unrestricted free agent after this year, and I think it's pretty clear that the writing's on the wall that he's going to be going elsewhere at this point.
Yeah, Rocco, I tell you what, he's got to be – I'm trying to think. Who's the, like, Titans equivalent of Rocco Grimaldi, like Mason Kinsey? Now, granted, I understand, like, Rocco Grimaldi has actually done, you know, good things.
Yes.
You know, I mean, you know, Rocco Grimaldi has – but I'm just saying, like, it's amazing how much attention Rocco still gets when he really hasn't been part of the equation for a long time now.
Josh on the text line says, all these people that are down on Hines and Poyle, all I ever hear them say is fire them both. I'm just curious who they all think the Preds could bring in and make overnight changes. I think Hines has done a fine job, and I'd like to see him back next year. I hated the hire a few years back, by the way. This coming from Josh on the text line. I mean, that is interesting. And, you know, obviously the easy response right now, if you want John Hines out, is, well, Barry Trotz is out there, so go get him. And we've talked about that. I mean, if I'm the Predators, I'm certainly making a call to Barry Trotz and seeing where his thoughts are on that point. But I don't know how likely that is. I mean, look, by far the most likely scenario to me is Hines and Poyle are both back next year, and they're both back in the roles that they're in right now. The Poyle part of it is interesting. To Josh's point there, like, if you're a Predators fan and you want them to move on from David Poyle, that's fine. You can think that way. Who are they going to go get? Who do you want them to go get? Because I made my thoughts on it pretty clear yesterday. I think if they did move on from David Poyle, it would be for Brian Poyle. And I know that that probably wouldn't go over well for a lot of Predators fans.
No, and look, this is where, you know, I listened to some of Jared yesterday, and he was just pretty much just, they must both be fired, if you wanted to just sum up his show in a sentence. And again, I totally disagree with Hines. I mean, he's grasping at, he doesn't like Hines. I think he's totally misguided. I think Poyle is a much more realistic and fair assessment of David Poyle. And I do agree with one thing Jared said, which is, well, I mean, who knew John Robinson, you know, when the Titans,
sure.
I mean, what normally happens with teams is you have a certain period of time as a GM in pro sports. And then if it doesn't work out, then you move on and you hire the next person. I mean, there must be some young, promising people who are going to be GMs of, I do feel like in hockey, there are some, not just here, but like some personnel people who really go late into life and have long tenures, or even if it's not with the same team, right? Like, I feel like there needs to be some fresh blood in general in the NHL, but there are options out there to completely separate from this group that you could look at. But the question is anybody looking at that? Is anybody preparing? Because it's not as simple as, just fire him and then see what you've got. I mean, you've got to be thinking about your next steps if you do something like that. But I would agree with Jared that, like, there are people to be found out there outside the organization, and maybe that is what it needs.
April in Portland texting in says, I think Poyle should shop Duchesne. I don't see him having another season like this. You get out while you can. I don't want to see Johansson go. He does a lot of good things that don't show up on the score sheet. I prefer to sign Forsberg, but I'm fine letting him go if he's wanting Austin Matthews and McKinnon type money, because he's not elite like them. He's great, but I wouldn't pay him one penny over $9 million. Really prefer $8 or $8.5 million. This is coming from April in Portland on the text line. I would think that Philip Forsberg is, and his agents, I hope, have enough sense not to ask for Nathan McKinnon and Austin Matthews money. It's just my guess.
Yeah. I mean, look, again, you could certainly, you could go out there and you could get overpaid. This happens.
Sure.
You also take into account losing the year, so your total, it's going to be hard, unless it's just a ridiculous sum, you know, to match or exceed what you would get here. So, yeah, I mean, I think you said it many times, like about $8.5 million a year, 8 by $8.5 million, that's a heck of a deal. And I think, you know, I think that's a deal that at the end of it, it would not look great, but that's how a lot of these deals are. You know, you give someone at his age, the max 8 years, you know, the last couple of years are probably not going to be pretty, but I still think that's worth it. That's fine. Getting into like eight digits, to me, that's not who he is.
Speaking of somebody getting paid, we'll get into the Tom Brady discussion coming up next. He apparently is about to make a whole lot of money from Fox Sports when his playing days are over. We'll get Joe's thoughts on that coming up next. Make sure you tune in for Nashville Sounds Baseball today at 11:05 on ESPN 94.9 as the Sounds take on the Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp, the AAA affiliate of the Miami Marlins. Sounds Baseball on ESPN 94.9, presented by 312 Pizza, Farm Bureau Health Plans, and Spirited Hive. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We've got the Rex Rant with Joe Rex Road coming up at 7:45. John Glennon from SI.com and NHL.com coming up at 8 o'clock as well. As always, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Joe, some big news yesterday that we didn't have a chance to get to in the aftermath of the Preds Avalanche series. Tom Brady reportedly signing a 10-year deal with Fox Sports worth $375 million. To be their lead analyst when his playing days are over. So apparently he would join Kevin Burkhart on the call. Remember, Joe Buck just left Fox Sports and is now at ESPN. But Kevin Burkhart apparently going to be their lead guy, joined by Tom Brady coming up. Now, in the aftermath of this, Fox Sports have come out and they've said that the $375 million in that deal may not necessarily be exactly what it is, but it was reported first by the New York Post, which is owned by Murdoch's News Corporation, which of course is a part of Fox Sports. So I don't know exactly how accurate it is, but it says 10 years, $375 million potentially for Tom Brady when his playing days are over. Now there's a couple things to sort through here. Number one, Tom Brady obviously is still playing and is playing for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers this year. And we talked a few weeks ago about apparently this diabolical scheme to be part owner, part player of the Miami Dolphins. So I guess I would wonder where that situation lies at this point. Number two, if and when he stops playing, whether that's next season or in 2035 at this point, do you think Tom Brady be any good at play-by-play or doing the, not play-by-play, but being on a broadcast and being the number one guy on a broadcast in an NFL game?
I don't know. I don't know, man. Like, everybody was so gaga about Drew Brees, right?
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's not great. He's okay. It takes, obviously, Romo kind of took everything by storm, and he's just like this hyperactive football nerd, you know? it's great. And Romo in the moment, I mean, because that's, to me, that's what I would want from Brady is I want the absolute nitty-gritty, super-fast breakdown, the X's and O's, the way Romo does.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you saw poor Jason Witten get thrown on Monday Night Football and try to kind of do that. It just didn't work. You know, he was like most players who immediately leave, their playing careers and get into broadcasting. Usually it takes a few years to get good at it, you know? So I don't know. Maybe he'll be great. You know, it's possible. I mean, he can be funny, but it's bizarre to me. First of all, has anyone ever made a choice of watching a game based on the announcers?
Well, that's my thing. And I saw Stephen Holder put this out yesterday too. And look, I'm not going to sit here and pretend that I'm smart enough to know what a big difference this is going to make for Fox Sports. But let's operate under the assumption that the reported numbers are true or they're close to true, okay? You're paying Tom Brady.
I'm sure they're close to true.
I'm sure they're close. You're paying Tom Brady somewhere in the neighborhood of $375, $350 million, whatever that is, over a 10-year span to be on your broadcast team. Like, what is the return on investment there for Fox Sports? Because as Stephen Holder pointed out, like, people are going to watch NFL games anyway, right? Like, I don't really base my watching of NFL games based on who is calling the game and who's not. Now, I will admit, I enjoy the broadcast a lot more when guys like Al Michaels are calling the game, or, you know, I know a lot of people hate Joe Buck and Troy Aikman. I actually liked Joe Buck and Troy Aikman for the most part. I mean, every now and then Aikman says some things where you're just like, huh? But that's everybody. So most people watch the NFL. If it's your team, you're watching the NFL anyway. So I guess my question is, like, what is the return on investment here from Fox Sports that they wouldn't already get with an NFL broadcast?
Yeah, I mean, I get you got an affiliation with Tom Brady. So Tom Brady is, you know, essentially like he's promoting your product, right?
Sure.
So I guess there's that aspect of it. I mean, you know, you look at the Manning brothers thing, the Manning cast, and I will say that, like, the Monday Night Football team over the years was always of high interest, right? Like, them trying to find that combination. But that's also, like, the one, like, those games are, like, that's the one game everyone is watching every week, right? It was always Monday Night Football. So it's like, ooh, they're trying Dennis Miller. Oh, that's actually a huge disaster. Okay, well, they got John Madden, you know, whatever it is. I will say that if the Monday Night Football crew was a little better, I would probably would have watched less Manning cast last year. But again, that's also like your own network competing against itself anyway. So I it's wild money. It's just like, well, that's where money is in the NFL, and NFL broadcasting is just throw massive amounts. Again, I think there's a benefit to your overall product to have Brady, but I don't think that that's going to have any impact on viewership.
Well, and it's interesting because as to whether or not he'd be good at it, like, obviously, I think Tom Brady can process information pretty quickly and can, you know, recognize what's going on out there probably better than anybody. But can he translate that to a broadcast? Now, I'll say this, you know, my viewpoint on him since he's gone down to Tampa Bay has changed a lot. Like, he still does some things where I'm just like, okay. But you know, he was kind of boring in New England. And that was, I think, by design. It was the New England way and all this other stuff. Like, I feel like he's branched out a little bit since he's gone down to Tampa Bay. His social media game's pretty strong, and he's got a good personality on there. So if you can translate that personality to the broadcast, then I think it could be really good. I just, sometimes that's way harder to do than we think it is. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Adam from Portland. Adam, thanks for calling in to Robbie and Rex Road.
Yeah, so I hate him, obviously, you know, and I have no good reason to, besides the 59-0 game that I can't get over. I think for my whole life I won't be able to get over it, but he's good at everything he does. He's funny. He's good at golf. You know, all the personal things that are, he's got the alligator moat in his yard, and then the wife, and these robot kids. I mean, he does everything perfect. So I imagine if he wanted to be a head chef in a restaurant, he'd be really good at it. And if he wants to call football games, he'll probably be really good at it. So I hate it, but I'll definitely be entertained by it.
Hey, thanks for the call, Adam. We appreciate it. I mean, Joe, this could be a big opportunity for you, as Tom Brady being one of your favorite people, to really just embrace this whenever the time comes that he's done. And I mean, that brings up the other question. Like, is he planning on retiring after this season again? Is he going to stay retired for more than 6 weeks this time? Could this deal kick in and, you know, 2045 when he's 80 years old? Like, what's going to happen here?
Yeah, that's a great question. Well, he's goated. He's goated in everything he does, as Adam just said. So I'm sure he'll be goated at this. Well, look, it's going to be high interest for sure, and I'm sure it'll be a little rough early, but, like, I'm sure he'll be good. It's just, like, this is money, you know, this is almost like making up for some of the years when he probably should have gotten paid a lot more as a player. Yeah. It's also, like, crazy to think about people getting paid more to broadcast the game, you know, than broadcasting was like, oh, yeah, it's a nice landing spot after your playing career. You can make a little bit of cash and stay involved in the game. And now it's like outrageous sums of money. Now, I still think the outrageous sums are going to go for a very select few, but
like Tom Brady, still,
and Joe Rexroad. Still pretty wild.
Yeah.
Well, that. Well, yes. I mean, we're not going to get into my negotiations with the station. You know, eight figures a year. It's a little got a little bit dicey, but I appreciate the station for investing. But it's also interesting to me that if this number is, do you think that Brady was like demanding double Romo? Because Romo yes. Makes 18 a year, and Brady's like, yeah, I'll come. It's double Romo. Give yep. me double Romo.
I do. I think it's yep. exactly what he was doing. Sean on the text line says it would probably need to include a special side project besides just the game broadcast. Maybe an unfiltered stream of Brady dissecting in the NFL week to week, Barstool style. This coming from Sean. Like I would, I'd probably watch an unfiltered Brady film session. Like, wow, that's a horrible throw.
Yeah. Well, I mean, actually, I mean, yeah, but seriously, like stuff like that. I mean, stuff that can bring eyeballs, you know, to your online product and all that stuff. I mean, that's, I would actually think that would be part of their plan. Right. Like,
yeah.
And maybe he's like, nope, I'm showing up. 3-hour game. Bye. Give me my private like, plane.
How much do you want to work?
Right. But I mean, that would be, if I was paying him that kind of money, I'd be like, hey, how about a little bit of online extra stuff for you too there, Tom, huh?
Some help TikToks, us out, buddy. You know,
give us unfiltered access yeah, to your go. TikTok. Yeah, be some good stuff. Coming up next, it is time for the Rex Rant. Joe Rexroad's rant of the day. That's next. This is Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
The time is now for the Rex Rant.
Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
On Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app. Can you take
me? And it is that time of the day, time for the Rex Rant here on Robbie and Rexroad. The beautiful town of Scott Stapp bringing us back in with some Creed. We got to see this in person the other night at Bridgestone Arena. It was a glorious event. It was captured on video from our own Max Hers for Joe Rexroad. It was just a great moment. And now, well done by Michelle to commemorate that moment the other night in Bridgestone Arena.
You're welcome.
Yeah, someone yesterday. Yes, thank you. He sounds as great as ever. Just the golden voice.
Friend of the show.
Yeah, friend. Well, is he a friend of the show? Just because we talk about him all the time?
Yes. We're going to assume that he's listening.
Yeah, I'm sure he's a faithful listener. Yes. Someone tweeted, maybe it was Gregory, like I was, or maybe it was Nate. It was like, I was really disappointed. I really expected a Rex rant about Scott Stapp yesterday. But I mean, what else is there to say?
He's awesome. You know? I know. We said it enough.
Right. I've made clear my thoughts on his music. So, hey, it was good to see him the other night. So my thing today is not, it's really not a rant. I guess, I don't know. Is this a Rexflection maybe? It's a little bit different, but it's something I wanted to say. Because like it's been tough seeing this. A kid I covered and I do call him a kid, even though he was 31, was shot and killed this week. Adrian Payne and his girlfriend, Adrian Payne, played at Michigan State briefly in the NBA. And then was overseas, but he and his girlfriend were, this is according to police reports, were called in to mediate between one of her friends and her friend's boyfriend. And that couple apparently had a rough history. This is in the Orlando, Florida area. The boyfriend in question, allegedly per the police report, came outside and shot Adrian Payne in the head while he was sitting unarmed in the driver's side of his car. You're talking about a guy who had a 5-year-old son, a guy who in 4 years of covering him, I probably saw him grow as much as anyone I can recall over a period of time like that. And, you know, talked some about this before, but that program in particular is one where the coach understands the value of having actual access and conversations and relationships. So you do get to see things like that. And as a senior, he was best friends, I would say, with a family from the area, the Holdsworths, and in particular with Lacey Holdsworth, an 8-year-old kid who had terminal cancer. And we sort of all went on that journey with her. and with her family. The day she died, which was a little more than 8 years ago, I took my oldest, my son Jack, to the Rock on campus at Michigan State, where Michigan State students kind of put together this impromptu memorial for her. And we watched as Adrian and Tom Izzo showed up and talked to everyone. And honestly, it was one of the most gut-wrenching things I've encountered. And now 8 years later, you know, this kid is just senselessly killed. And it's just, you know, it's really, excuse me, really, really sad. Props to Draymond Green for, you know, for starting a fund in his name. You know, Draymond was a huge, huge factor in his life. And you know, I mean, all I really have to add to this is hug your people. Don't let little stuff in your daily life be bigger than it is. I know that's a challenge for me, a challenge for a lot of people, something that's definitely worth keeping in mind as much as you can.
Yeah, no question about it. Well said. And, you know, Draymond Green, I mean, obviously he's, you know, he's playing in a playoff series right now against Memphis, but he is struggling. And Steve Kerr talked about this the other day, that Draymond is in mourning right now. And, you know, Draymond, he spoke after the game, and I thought did just a really good job of talking about the death of Adrian Payne, and, you know, mentioned he's going to be donating $100,000. Not only that, he called on, you know, some NBA players that are former Spartans to kind of join in there and start, whether it's a, you know, a fund, a scholarship fund, or getting something on campus named after Adrian Payne, just something that they all can collectively do together. It was really cool to see that from Draymond Green after the game the other night, obviously in a situation where he is hurting and mourning the loss of his really good friend as well.
Yep. He's, you know, Draymond is, you know, that's another guy who, polarizing player, and I totally get it, man. I mean, if you only know Draymond from, you know, his NBA career, and if you're not a Golden State Warriors fan, I totally understand people being down on him. I mean, you know, the amount of complaining he does after basically every call is, I mean, I'm the same way. Like, please, man. I mean, like, every single call is not the most egregious call in the history of mankind. And, you know, he I think some people think he's a dirty player. I think sometimes he certainly gets more physical than he should, and there are some elbows and things like that that, you know, he's got a reputation. But, man, that guy is and again, I've known him since he was like 16 in Saginaw, Michigan. He is a special dude, you know, for sure, in terms of just how he lives and you know, the impact he has on people. And you know, and that's the thing with Payne is, like, you know, he had a really strong impact on that family and on that little girl, you know. And I mean, really, what's more valuable than that? What's more important than that?
Yeah, absolutely. And it was interesting to hear you talk about this, and you've talked with me about this before, kind of off the air, of your time covering Michigan State. And, you know, we've had Izzo on the show, and we joke about Izzo, you know, being our college basketball analyst and all that stuff. But it is interesting the way that he's run his program over the years in terms of obviously the success on the court. But to your point, kind of opening things up and letting the media come in and get to know these people, and freshmen talk, everybody talks. And somebody like Adrian Payne, you can see firsthand kind of their growth from an 18-year-old in college to 22, 23 when they're done at Michigan State and to graduate. And I think that's a really cool thing. And it's a thing that quite frankly, just doesn't happen a whole lot anymore.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's basically, I mean, honestly, even you would think in pro sports, it should be mandated to me that you have open locker rooms after games and things like that. But college sports, obviously, it's not. And his whole thing has always been, well, in the NBA, every single day, these guys all want to be in the NBA, and every single day they're going to have reporters. They're going to have reporters in their locker room before games. They're going to have reporters in the locker room after games. And then every day in between games, they got practice and they're available and anybody can talk to them. So why would I have them in this 4 years be closed off to people and not get prepared for that? Right. It's amazing how an increasingly small number of coaches who, you know, in college sports are more like, let's just lock it up, close it off, you know, construct this barrier, and they don't see the benefits of it, which is hard to understand, but it also goes to just how, like, protecting the brand ends up being more important to people than actually helping people when they're in college grow. And you can take this to academics too. It's like, well, you can't take that major because that's going to cut into your time doing sports. And then you can take that to, this is why college athletes should be allowed to benefit financially when they are playing for State U and helping them make a lot of money on the field. So we just traversed a whole bunch of different topics right there.
We did, Joe. Very well said on Adrian Payne. Just a tragic, tragic situation. And obviously our thoughts are with his family. Coming up next, we'll be joined by John Glennon from NHL.com. We'll get his thoughts on the Predators, get his thoughts on Philip Forsberg's comments as well from yesterday. I got some tickets to give away to see Roger Waters coming up at Bridgestone Arena on Saturday, August the 27th. Be caller number 5-615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Caller number 5 will win a pair of tickets to see Roger Waters coming up at Bridgestone Arena on Saturday, August 27th. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.